My heart aches as in borderline humiliation. I will try it once again. Step number one, open the door. Step two, humble yourself. Step three, stand for prayer. Step four, pick up your legs. Step five, walk down the stairwell. Step six, say yes to the call. Step seven, say the prayer. Step eight, get godly counsel. She tried it so many times now that she could have written a book about it, taken someone else through it, but it didn't seem to matter. There would never be the power in her life that she saw in David, Deborah, Esther, Daniel, or Elijah if something didn't shift soon. It was like once she left the doors of that building, all was the same old, same old. Temptations, falls, struggles, and desperate, guilt-filled prayers to a God who never seemed to get her all the way out. This girl is me. For years, I was stuck. This is the Inspiring Lives broadcast for Monday, March 21st, 2016. Have you ever wanted to quit? Join me in discovering how to get unstuck from that cemented place of getting out to realize promises fulfilled. As she walked into the pew-filled seats, her significance could never be taken, but seemed diminished. She would not give up. Passing person by person, her thin yet sculpted legs began to climb one step, glancing around at lights, a pulpit of familiar faces, and the beautiful yet down-to-earth house of worship. Then she would continue on her journey, escalating up these steps. Once and for all, today was going to be the cementing moment she'd been longing for. Just like track, she would set her mind, visualize the race, see herself passing one fully suited girl at a time, their number blazing behind her until she was in the lead. She would begin to pace herself through the seemingly unaccomplishable, and the screaming voices soon became smiling faces that were going to greet her as she crossed the line in triumph. The only problem was this reality came so easily in running. It was like she didn't have to try. The visualizations of her spiritual victories were altogether different. She would get in position, iron her uniform, place it gently onto her nervous chest, beating twice as fast as normal. Then taking her well-worn shoes into her hands, begin to think about her already defeated foe doing the same. But when she walked down that same set of accelerated steps to make the final move, to pass her adversary, the screaming voices never varied into smiling faces. Instead, they dissipated into quiet disappointment and disapproval. And she was passed by the same opponent over and over again. How many times was this going to happen? She appeared to be in a deep moment of stuck. Yes, her legs walked down the accelerated steps in great anticipation for her already purchased liberation. Yet her life never seemed to match the promising pages of her scriptural text. I can't seem to find his power. My heart aches as in borderline humiliation. I try it once again. Step one, open the door. Step two, humble yourself. Step three, stand for prayer. Step four, pick up your legs. Step five, walk down the stairwell. Step six, say yes to the call. Step seven, say the prayer. And step number eight, get godly counsel. She tried it so many times now that she could have written a book about it, taken someone else through it, but it didn't seem to matter. There would never be the power in her life that she saw in David, Deborah, Esther, Daniel, or Elijah if something didn't shift soon. It was like once she left the doors of that building, all was the same old, same old. Temptations, falls, struggles, and desperate, guilt-filled prayers to a God who never seemed to get her all the way out. This girl is me. For years, I was stuck, and I felt like there was no hope, but just enough to keep me trying. There was no evidence, but just enough to keep me believing. And this in-between place was a tiring mystery gap, an enigma of differentiation when comparing my life to the God of the Bible. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you are there now. It is so easy to feel like there's no hope, yet you cannot give up because you can see just enough of what God is doing to keep believing. Then you wonder why he's not quickly helping you out. You do not see him at work, but you do. You want to give up and quit. You want to throw in the towel. You feel disillusioned. You feel discouraged or depressed. But you know too much. Just because he hasn't done it in the past doesn't mean we will not see it in the future. I've been there before. I've seen him answer. I've seen him do the impossible. And you have too. But yet here we are again. We're sitting in the seat of hope deferred, fulfilled enough to break the ice of freaking frozen stuck. It is melting around me, and in faith, I am finding joy. The children of Israel were in a similar place when Queen Esther arrived on the scene. And one day, their destiny was changed from normalcy to frustration. And a decree was written that they would be annihilated in a day. Now, they're in this place where their possible would suddenly become impossible. They were in need of a miracle. Can you relate to that? I know I sure can. This place where it seems like there are prayers that have consistently going up to Jesus over and over again. And at times I feel like I relate so much to women like Sarah or Hannah or Leah in the Bible that were waiting on a promised child. They were waiting on the Lord to produce a miracle in their life. In the place of stuck, we can be there for so long that we don't even realize we're stuck until one day our eyes seem to be open to the realization of how frozen we are in this same spiritual locality. And we say to ourselves, self, I have to get out of this. I'm realizing that I may be in a place that is beyond my control. You read the stories of these great heroines of the faith, and you begin to encourage yourself, and you hear their stories, and your mind cannot even conceptualize the greatness and the magnitude of what they had experienced. But of course, reading their story is much more comforting than journeying our own. And when we begin to look at ourselves in the mirror of his word, we see so quickly and evidentially our lack. We see this gap between our own need for greatness, our own need for strength, our own need to have the ability to continue forward in this timeline of faith that we do not know when the point of end will ever be. The story of Esther is such a story where suddenly her life has spiraled out of her own control. A whole people group, a whole nation's life was suddenly spiraled out of their own control, and they needed a miracle. Purim, March 24th, 2016. Represents a day called stuck. To the Jewish people of that day, they would have felt completely and evidentially stuck. Yet it turned into a day called reversal. I want to invite you into a world beyond your own. This world can be exciting, exhilarating, like walking into a Chronicles of Narnia adventure. We can walk through the doors of revelation into this new world. Yet there is an enemy in every storyline, and he comes to deceive us, to make us feel like this new place, this new world will be a world of frustration and never, never, never dreams never coming true. but it's the place where God is disguised in circumstance. In this world, it all begins to make sense. All of the weight, all of the frustration, and the mystery soon becomes clear. We are made whole. God was disguised in the circumstance of Esther without a mention of his name. And he is disguised in our lives today. He's in our situations. He's in the people that we meet. He is in the places that we find ourselves. Yet we are so distracted many times. I know I am, by what else is wrong, what else has not been accomplished yet. My own shortcomings, my own failures, that oftentimes I miss his hand. Every year during Purim, the Jews remind themselves of this truth, and they do it in a visualized way. They dress their children up in the hopeful characters like Esther or Mordecai of the book of Esther, and they walk through this journey many, many years ago of God's salvation. They walk through this hopeful place of God working to save them from the impossible. Guess what? It's time to play dress up again. When you're a child, as a little girl, you may remember moments where you got all dressed up and you put on your mom's heels and she finds you in the room with makeup smeared all over your face haphazardly. And you are no longer you. I'm no longer Jade. I am Princess Aisha, come alive, ready to save the world. I'm going to meet my Prince Charming. And as he walks into the room, he's going to wed me, scoop me away, and bring me into the royal palace. I will not wait here much longer in my little New Jersey home with my parents telling me what to do. And I love my family, but there's going to come this place where he scoops me away and rescues me, takes me into glory. When we're a child, it's so easy to believe in the impossible, to believe in a world beyond what we could see. It is time to remember again. It is time to take on that childlike perspective. And it's time to hope again. Today, I have a meditation for you. Will you close your eyes with me? Will you think about this truth with me as we meditate on who God is? As we meditate in the place of stuck? Have you found yourself wanting to give up on getting out of stuck? Do you sometimes wonder if fasting and believing will work, or if only you're going to find yourself ending in greater disappointment because you chose to believe? Is it possible to get past this? Why is this happening? How will I ever get out? When you are in a situation where you don't have the answers, like I was, constantly going to that church, walking up the steps, celebrating to my place of stuck, literally in the house of the Lord, going back down to the altar call, yet never seeing his power operate in my life. It can become a mystery, and you need to see God's deliverance desperately. He oftentimes has you sitting right in the answer to your prayers. It may be the person right next to you, but least expected, that is the solution. Well, the end of my story is that I found a way out. I kept going over and over again to many altars until one day it happened, but it wasn't the way I expected. It wasn't even in a steepled building. It wasn't even at a conventional altar. It happened through a life circumstance. It actually happened through a loss in my life. And when I lost someone who I appeared to need, God came in and he gave me a new life. He gave me the freedom that I desperately needed. Now, I want you to apply this key to victory. Read the book of Esther as we go in to this holy time of Purim together. Yes, read the entire book. And watch God's mystery hand masquerading in natural events, his name never being mentioned, working to bring salvation to the Jews. He has a special way of working in the natural where we are not even looking. Then ask yourself the following questions. How have the events in my life recently changed? Who have I recently met, maybe in the past couple of years, that God seems to have sent to me? Why may God have placed this person in my life? What do my current circumstances say to the unresolved issues or promises I am waiting on from God? How could the losses in my life really be open doors for opportunity? What has my perspective been that may need to change? And how have I been seeing God in my circumstances and the people in my life? Or am I only looking for him in other places? And then when you answer these questions, journal them. Think about your answers. Pray and ask him for revelation that will help you to live in patience until the mystery is revealed. As we celebrate Purim, it's a great reminder of his nature to work it all out for your good. Has there ever been a time that you couldn't see God moving? Then surprise, you realize he was working on your behalf the entire time. I would love if you come onto my blog at jlee.org and we'll celebrate together the amazing moments that he has especially given to you. There was a moment recently where I was sitting somewhere and I began to look around me feeling a little down. And I realized that I was sitting in the answer to promises fulfilled. This frozen moment of stuck began to melt around me and I found joy. Living in promises that are unfulfilled and beginning to see them fulfilled melts the frozen stuck around me. The realization of promises fulfilled crushes the sting of hope deferred. When you can, I can, we will experience his power. Like David, Deborah, Esther, Daniel, or Elijah, as he writes our story. Because it is his unseen hand that is working through our surroundings in ways that are beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine. I want to personally thank you for listening to today's broadcast. And I would love to continue to give you these broadcasts, but I cannot without your help. Would you consider logging onto www.jlee.org and giving a donation under the contact page? It's your gift to jlee.org, $10, $20, or $50, that is highly valued. And we will support you as you continue to listen. And we value your support of our ministry to women all over the world. I look forward to sharing more words of encouragement and hope with you in the upcoming days. Please be back for Inspiring Lives. Inspiring Lives with Jade Lee is an outreach of jadelee.org.